WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. 2 weeks now into that strike against the major Detroit carmakers, United Auto Workers are scheduled to do a strike update video in about 6 hours. They did the same a week ago, announcing additional plant walkouts now.
Striking SUV plants would increase the pressure. Taking out engine plants would impact other assembly plants. And then there's the nuclear option. Is this the time to take out the pickup plants?
I don't know if it's time to take out the pickup truck plants, because that starts to immediately hurt everybody's pocketbook.
Cornell labor expert Art Wheaton does not expect Ford to be spared this time as it was last week, because he doesn't think they're making the progress that the UAW expects. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
With the U.S. Senate and House taking very different approaches and funding for many government agencies running out Sunday morning, CBS's Scott McFarlane was asked what happens to federal courts if there's a shutdown.
Federal court system says they'll keep full operations through at least October 13th. They have some fees courts charge of, among other people, criminal defendants that continue to fund things for at least a couple more weeks. After that, they'll start paring back. Then emergency cases go first, likely people who are facing pretrial detention, people who had their speedy trial rights exercised. They'll start cutting back, but that doesn't happen for 2 weeks.
Today's the final day of General Mark Milley's term as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says Milley's time as chairman will be most remembered for his relationship with then-President Trump.
Milley was quick to point out, as he did throughout his tenure, that his responsibility was to be loyal to the Constitution of the United States, which officers swear an oath to, and not an oath to a particular president, something he thought Mr. Trump didn't exactly accept.
In California, there's new concern about some 400 public water systems serving about a million people.
This issue has been very much elevated since the scandal in Flint on the national radar, and then in Jackson, in Baltimore, in New Orleans.
Rick Pierce is director of the Human Right to Water Solution Lab at UCLA. The NYPD reports another big drug bust, more than 40 pounds of fentanyl found about 6 blocks from that daycare center where a one-year-old boy died from fentanyl exposure. Reporter Tim McNicholas of CBS New York.
Detectives say a man named Juan Gabriel Herrera Vargas rode the subway Tuesday with a suitcase full of fentanyl. He then got off here at the Kingsbridge Road Station and started walking down the street toward an apartment, but federal agents stopped him on the way.
Irish-born actor Michael Gambon, best known for his voice and roles in the Harry Potter movies, has died after a bout with pneumonia. He was 82. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The KreitzCast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you are fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
KreitzCast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our Civic Media engineer, producer, extraordinary gentleman, Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is a Thursday, September 28th, 2023. Welcome into the program. Glad to have you along. If you're along with us on the stream, our picture looks exactly how I feel today. A little cockeyed. Just a little. Also, was there just my headphones, or it sounded like Terry Barr was in a shed or something?
That was not just in your headphones. So okay. I apologize to our listeners for that. I had an extra something going on, but it's fixed.
As long as we know what it was, I'm just like, it's is fixed. That me? Is that my bad ears? What is it? All right. Well, here we are. It's great to have you along on a Thursday. Great program coming up in hour number two. At 2:30, Keegan Kelly is back on the program of Cracked.com, and Keegan's going to be talking a little bit about the return of late-night television. If you have not heard, the writer's strike is over as of midnight last night, and the writers across television, the movies, entertainment, they've settled with the studios. It sounds like they got at least an acceptable deal in terms of some streaming rights, some pay, some assurances for their job security. And so that means late night television is back. I believe John Oliver is going to be the first one back on Sunday night. And then all the rest of them are going to come back on Monday. So we'll be talking about Keegan Kelly, who has some very close ties to former Late Late host Craig Ferguson. And so he'll be talking about his time on the show with Craig Ferguson, as well as what this means, the writers' strike being settled. Actors still on strike, still trying to negotiate with the parent company studios. But anyway, good news for the writers.
Absolutely. I don't really watch TV much. Like, I watch movies, I watch some shows, but I don't watch any of the late night shows. Occasionally I do watch John Oliver or some others, but it's great that those are coming back because I know how important they are to a lot of people. But more so, I'm just glad that the terms of the strike seem to be, or the terms of the new contract seem to be very much, much more fair than they were before. So I'm very happy for everybody in WGA.
Yeah, absolutely. Be happy to talk with Keegan Kelly at 2:30 as well. Coming up this hour, did you watch the debate last night, Mr. Zommers?
I did.
did you really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get more of your thoughts on the side. But, so you did watch it, though.
I did watch it.
Any quick takeaways? Like, what was just your knee-jerk reaction?
To anyone who didn't watch it, you didn't miss anything.
That's kind of what I gather. So here's the deal. I thought it was going to be broadcast on like the Fox over the air channel, Fox, because that's what it was. It was on Fox News. Plus it was on the regular Fox channel. And of course, with my Spectrum conundrums, I'm not even going to go into that right now, but I do not have cable at the present time, only over the air. And so I thought, well, I'll just tune in on Fox. And it was like after the Masked Singer or something like that. And there was some other program by David Spade or something like that being on Fox. I'm like, well, that's not happening. So anyway, I watched a little bit of it online. I watched the, as you pointed out, the lowlights of the Republican debate from Simi Valley last night. So we'll talk about that. Have a couple of cuts here somewhere as well, if I can round those up, and we'll talk about the nonsense of the Republican debate last night. I actually kept it on CBS and watched the premiere of this season's Survivor. Because, you know, I'm still
making new seasons of Survivor?
Yes, Jeff Probst, absolutely. A big 90-minute Survivor last night.
Wow.
And here was my takeaway after the first 40 minutes. Americans have become soft. Become soft and out of shape. And I'll put myself in that category. You had people, these are people like your age, like in their 20s, that couldn't do basic physical things. And we're like passing out from exhaustion, and you know, they're carrying like, you know, chunks of wood like we did in the farm. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to be, you know, an Adonis or whatever you want to say, but if you were chosen to be on Survivor, and if you knew anything about, wouldn't you at least spend a couple of months getting in basic physical fitness shape?
I can't imagine going on Survivor and not doing that. Like, you find out you're going on like the longest running physically challenging game show.
And you just show up as a dough person, a dough boy or a dough girl. I thought to myself, man, you know, I got to put, and I thought this, of course, while I was watching television. That was the irony of it. I thought, holy cow, Americans need to put down their screens, their phones, their devices, their TV, and go outside. Take a hike.
I'm going to go make a tweet about it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Go outside and do something productive and get a little physical fitness in. As I sit there in my chair watching a screen tweeting out on a device. So I need to look in the mirror.
Didn't apply to be on Survivor.
I did not apply to be on Survivor. No. I'm not sure I would. I mean, I've definitely not watched every season, but I've watched it on and off for a long time. It can be entertaining, I guess, popcorn television, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, one of my friends, shout out to you, Jack, one of my roommates from college, absolutely loves Survivor. His username on like everything has the word Survivor in it, and then whatever else he's got.
Wow.
And he and some of our other friends in college had Survivor nights weekly, mm-hmm. where you'd watch a couple episodes of whatever season that they're just running through. And I participated sometimes, and that was fun because, you know, just get people together and hang out.
You know, before the writer's strike was settled, it's still going to be a lot of reality television all the way through the fall. But also the new Bachelor, like the senior citizen bachelorette mm-hmm. or whatever that is. There's a woman from Dodgeville, Wisconsin, in Southwest Wisconsin in the show. So we're going to come back and talk about the other reality TV show called The Republican Primary. Take your phone calls as well, 844-967-2789. This is the Todd Allbull Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Allbush Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Allbush Show.
Dan Knodel, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south to southeast at around 15 to 25. Could see a few scattered thunderstorms after midnight tonight. Our low 63. Tomorrow, a thunderstorm in the morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy. 81 on Sunday, partly cloudy, with a high right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth, wherever it may lead. And having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Thursday, September 28th, 2023. Mr. Zommer's on the board. Happy to have you along. It's now 15 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Did you watch the Republican presidential primary debate last night over on Fox Business? And what did you think? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Eight, nine.
I have a little clip of it to play here. Just a second.
Well, yes, there was lots of people calling it a clown show. That's for sure. Look, I as I said, I was not able to get the Fox Business Channel last night, but I watched some of the actual highlights or whatever you want to call them online and read a lot of articles, read some live Twitters on it. And here's a couple of legitimate takeaways that I'm hearing from Republican sources, that the money crowd, the people who actually give money to Republican presidential candidates, after last night, they're a bit in a panic because they watched that thing and they thought, who the heck could possibly come out of here to legitimately take on Donald Trump? Because it was just, there was almost nothing that made sense last night. There was a lot of yelling over each other. The problem is now with presidential debates, particularly in the primary post-Trump, is that everyone now wants to follow his playbook. That is, talk over your opponent, yell over them, make fun of them, try to get the low-hanging fruit hit on your opponent, and completely avoid all the rules of the debate. Don't stop talking when your time is up. Interrupt your opponent. And what can people possibly get out of that? Not much. And so the Republican money crowd watching this last night, very nervous, legitimately, very nervous because they see how far ahead Donald Trump is in the polls. Of course, Trump skipped the debate again, went to Michigan, told people he was going to a union shop in Detroit, trying to do what President Biden actually did, which is go on a picket line with UAW strikers. Trump went and met in a non-union shop. And according to reports this morning, many of the people there were not even in a union or part of the auto workers. It appears they were either hired or volunteers to come and pretend as though they were auto workers.
There were a few who were retired who used to be in the in the union.
Yes, there were a few legitimate former union workers there. But Trump doesn't even have to go because he's so far ahead in the polls. He's just completely ignoring them.
Because he set up the cult of personality where whatever he says becomes the Bible.
Right. And so, you know, the primary is virtually over before there has even been one vote taken on the Republican side. Because Trump is far ahead of the Iowa caucuses, the first one. And if Trump wins there, it's pretty hard for anybody else to catch up because the momentum's going to be into New Hampshire. And then I'm not sure if they go to Nevada for Republican side yet or next or South Carolina. But not good. Anyway, dialed up, rather than me sitting here talking about all this, let's go to the Midas Touch Network. This is actually a legitimate news source. They do a lot on social media where they pull out clips and they review them. This is a great guy named Ben Masalas. And he put together, we're not going to play the whole thing for you, but you can go to Midas Touch Network on Twitter or social, wherever, and see the whole thing.
Although if you're looking it up, it is spelled funny.
Yes.
It's not M-I-D-A-S, like, you know, King Midas. It's M-E-I-D-A-S.
Touch. Exactly. Thank you, Mr. Zommers. So here's a little taste of the review by Ben Mizelis of Minus Touch Network last night of the Republican presidential primary.
I'm Ben Mizelis from the Midas Touch Network. I watched the Republican presidential primary debate in California at the Reagan Library, so you didn't have to. It was on Fox Business. It was horrible. It was horrific. It was embarrassing. It was a train wreck. As Democratic Governor of California Gavin Newsom said, what a clown show. A clown show indeed. Donald Trump didn't show up. Instead, he was at a non-union shop in Michigan pretending that it was a union shop in one of the most pathetic speeches I've ever seen given by Donald Trump or anyone. But let's get back to what went down in this, I guess you call it a debate for the Republican presidential primary. Here is Nikki Haley saying that Vivek Ramaswamy makes her dumber every time she hears him speak. Play the clip.
Social media apps yes, that is. We could have. And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say. Because I can't believe TikTok situation. What they're doing is...
Here is Chris Christie saying that Donald Trump is pro-Putin. Play the clip.
Donald Trump said Vladimir Putin was brilliant and a great leader. This is the person who is murdering people in his own country, and now not having enough blood, he's now going to Ukraine to murder innocent civilians and kidnap 20,000 children. And let me tell you, if you think that's where it's going to stop, if we give him any of Ukraine, next will be Poland. This is a guy who said, this is a guy in 1991 who said that was the darkest moment in world history when the Soviet Union fell. Listen, everybody, he wants to put the old band back together and only America can stop it. Right. And when I'm president, we will.
Now let's stop with that. That part, that clip, Chris Christie was probably the only, in my opinion, from what I saw, was the only person on the stage last night that actually made sense.
Yeah, he also was the only person who had any sense of civility. Like there, you heard him go over his time, but right. He didn't double it.
Right.
And also, right. In all the arguments when 5-6 people are talking over each other, Chris Christie is sitting there leaning against his podium looking like he's dead inside. Like, can you believe these guys? Right. However, he's not winning either because right. His whole platform is, I hate Donald Trump.
Right. No, he can't get through the Republican primary, certainly. But at least we have one person that's a Republican out there that's taken it to Donald Trump on a consistent basis, right? So I'll give Christie that one. All right, go ahead.
Here is Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, making weird faces. Play the clip.
Back to them.
Ilya, you mentioned me in the question. I just want to address it.
You can't see that, but it was fantastic because Ron DeSantis, if you watch
here
the video.
Here is Ron DeSantis getting copious amounts of makeup applied to his face. Yes. Play the clip.
Okay, I will fast forward through that one. Basically, it's not actually copious amounts of makeup. It's a normal amount of makeup.
Oh, but it's like pancaked on.
Yes, they pancake it on.
The point they were making was that, you know, if you live in Florida, if you're a man, you can't wear that much makeup because you get put in jail. He'll be called a drag queen.
And for that, yes.
But Ron DeSantis makes these weird faces all the time. And last night he did it again. He tries to make a point and be mean, and then he like tries to smile. It's just a weird thing.
The two that looked the weirdest were definitely DeSantis with his like smiles that turn into a grimace, and Doug Burgum, who basically anytime somebody addressed him, you could see like that little lizard brain, like they're giving me attention smile.
Right. All right. Go ahead.
You know, with all that makeup, I don't know if Ron DeSantis is going to be allowed to go back to Florida. He may have banned that. Here is Ron DeSantis, though, actually saying something accurate here. And here he says, look, Trump is missing in action and Trump should answer for the fact that he ran up the deficit. He ran up America's debt to the tune of $7.8 trillion. Play this clip.
And you know who else is missing in action? Donald Trump is missing in action. He should be on this stage tonight. He owes it to you to defend his record where they added $7.8 trillion to the debt. That set the stage for the inflation that we have now.
And I think that deserves a lot of attention, by the way. I mean, Donald Trump was so fiscally irresponsible, whereas President Biden has decreased the deficit, Donald Trump increased it and assumed massive amounts of debt with his wildly reckless fiscal policies. It's
Yep, I think that's a great. I think it's a great point, and that I'll give DeSantis credit for calling that out. And I wish more Republicans would. When you start talking about inflation and the deficit, remember Trump increased it by over $7 trillion. So that's a very important point. What do you think? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Dick here in Madison. Dick, what say you?
That wasn't an episode of Jerry Springer.
That's exactly what I said to my roommates.
You would think so, right?
Just mine. The only thing they didn't have is the folding chairs being thrown. Otherwise, you're there.
I totally agree.
Here's the other thing that they all attack all the time, and parrot Trump on. They're populist and they're against elites. Right. And then they turn around and give the most elite people tax cuts.
Exactly.
Biggest corporations. So how is that a populist message?
I don't know. They're very, very confused over the Republican side right now. Meanwhile,
the only corporation they're against is the Disney Corporation.
Right.
Other than that, they're down with any corporation that'll line their pockets for them to run.
And remember, they are in the process right now of driving this country off the cliff and shutting down the federal government, which is going to cost people thousands and hundreds, trillions of dollars if they don't get this fixed. And working people, real Americans who happen to work for the government, are not going to have a paycheck. How are they going to pay for their rent, their food, their families?
And the thing that I don't get, though, Todd, is that still high numbers of working people buy into that nonsense.
Right.
There's nothing on the table from them for them.
100%.
And yet they keep running over and, oh, maybe a crumb will fall off for me. And that's right. About all you're going to get.
We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to have a clip of Mitch McConnell, actually, Dick. Thank you very much, Dick and Madison. Appreciate that. Well, we have a clip of Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor. I believe it was yesterday or the day before, where he just calls out Kevin McCarthy. It has gotten so bad for Republicans in Washington, D.C., that they're completely infighting and calling each other out. That's how bad it is getting within the Republican Party, folks. Again, as a 30-year Republican who left the party in 2011 over voter suppression laws, I've just never, once you think, well, I've never seen anything like it. You know, you saw Trump, you never seen anything like it. The Republicans in Washington in particular, and even here in Madison, they keep surprising me. They keep going over that line time and time again. They can't govern. Even if you disagree with the Democratic platform, you can't deny that Nancy Pelosi governed. You can't deny that Joe Biden governed. You can't deny that Chuck Schumer governs. They keep the government working. What Kevin McCarthy and Matt Gaetz, to a lesser degree, Mitch McConnell, I mean, I'll give Mitch McConnell some credit. He actually got together most of his caucus to offer a bipartisan alternative in the Senate for a continuing resolution. And the Republicans in the House are saying it is dead on arrival because it includes some funding for Ukraine. I do not understand how you can stand in Simi Valley last night, the site of the Ronald Wilson Reagan Library, the man who famously stood at the Berlin Wall and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, and then support Vladimir Putin in his war against Ukraine. I don't get it. 844-967-2789. More of your calls on the other side. 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. We expect to hear in mid-morning from Sean Fain, head of the United Auto Workers.
Now it appears Fain is preparing to send more UAW members to the picket line if substantial progress isn't made at the negotiating table by 10 o'clock Friday morning.
WNEM-TV reporter James Felton in Saginaw, Michigan. With a partial government shutdown possible early Sunday,
leaders in both chambers race to advance separate short-term funding packages. If they fail to pass, a partial shutdown could result in shuttered national parks, hundreds of thousands of furloughed federal workers.
CBS's Nicole Killian. General Mark Milley finishes his tour as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in a few hours. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland.
He went through, obviously, a very turbulent 4 years. The pandemic, the Chinese balloon controversy, the withdrawal from our forces from Syria, which was controversial and resulted in the resignation of then-Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis.
CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He shouldn't even have BLTs. They're a terrible sandwich.
Oh, I love BLTs.
So do I.
The one deli sandwich I could have.
Greg, don't yuck my yum, dude. I will.
We've already established on this show today that Greg is happy to judge people's yums.
Bring me your yums, for I am the yum judge.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far the segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball. Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse, September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest, Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Under the helmet with the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Jordan Love was 15 for 27 for 245 yards and 3 TDs against a JV team.
Oh, my and, God. I mean, I don't like Chicago, but I ain't going to call them a JV team. They suck, but it's a slap in the face. Okay. I'm laughing at y'all Bear fans.
I know, man.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tuttle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Thursday, September 28th. It is 1:33 in the afternoon. Still some clouds here in the capital city at the world headquarters in Madison, a block off the Capitol Square, high atop State Street. Cloudy. Hopefully some sun comes out where you are today. It looks like a nicer week as we move along. Mr. Zomer is on the board, joining us live from somewhere in Wisconsin, the host or co-host of Town Call. He's just the host now because Luke's off in the world somewhere. But the current host of Town Call, usually the co-host, Will Walter, joins us from his home down in beautiful Germantown. William, thank you for coming on the show. How are you?
That's the most positive reception that I could have imagined Germantown getting. I love my hometown, but I generally don't think of it in that light. And I'm a little turned off by how groovy the music is for Todd's intro.
Really?
And I'm kind of jelly as to why we don't get that. Like, are we saving all the bangers for the Todd Alba show every day?
I picked that out early.
Hey, you picked Love Train. I'm pretty sure.
I have no problem. I think Love Train's pretty good. I like that. Because it is always...
You know, I was just saving up for the Jordan Love jokes, and then I always forget to make them every week.
Well, Will is on the show on the air every day, 12:15 until 1 o'clock, precedes us. We appreciate you. Come on, Will. Talking about this Republican debate last night on Fox Business, played a couple of the clips here before, and a great text, by the way, coming in from Cindy from Wausau, listening to us on WXCO up in Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, says, quote, "It seems like the Republican debate is the Republicans' version of Circus of the Stars." Remember what Circus of the Stars? Mr. Zomers, if you please.
Join your favorite young stars from Home Improvement, 90210, Fresh Prince, Roseanne, and Blossom for the Circus of the Stars, Friday, November 26th.
There you go. The story, you probably see, Will just had a birthday recently, and he keeps saying, "Oh, I'm an old man." Will, I bet you don't even remember Circus of the Stars, do you?
I would have been very young. Based on the television shows that were mentioned, I would have been very young.
Yeah. You're young, Will. Celebrate.
This was the 1993 edition of CBS Circus with the Stars, or Circus of the Stars.
So okay, just kidding. Was that aired in the summer, I'm assuming?
In November.
Yeah.
Oh, November. So I would have been 2 months old at that point, yes.
See, you're so young. This started back, I believe, on ABC in the 70s.
Yeah, where that seems right.
During the summer. Because it used to be, back in the olden days, they didn't have new programming over the summer. Of course, there was no streaming, didn't even have internet. And so what networks would do, usually, is just rerun the season that was in the fall, winter, and spring. They'd rerun it over the summer to build back up to where the show left off in the spring and then start new shows. Well, then ABC said, well, why don't we have fresh programming? And so they got some of these kind of, usually like a B, even a C-list, quote-unquote, star. And then they would have them do kind of like American Gladiator stuff, only a lot less stressful.
And you know what? That's a very accurate comparison, because it's B or C-list politicians or just personalities.
Exactly. So that's why I love this tweet from Cindy in Wausau. We thank you up there at Bull Falls Radio. She says it was like watching Circus with the Stars, to Mr. Zomer's point, kind of this B or C level people just going at it, and it was goofy. Will, you watched it. What did you think of it?
Well, I made the comparison earlier that it was kind of like a circus, and the moderators were unable to keep all the clowns in check. I love the B and C list comparison too. That's even better, because we're very well aware that the kingpin wasn't there. Every candidate talked about it. Chris Christie in particular harped on it. I found myself actually low-key rooting for him, just because I respect how dedicated he was to that single message. There were times when, Vivek and Tim Scott and Nikki Haley were arguing over each other. Doug Burgum sitting in the corner was yelling something about North Dakota's energy. Mike Pence was trying to discuss whatever Mike Pence likes to talk about, but he's so, timid and quiet that you didn't even know he was speaking into the microphone. And then Christie's just sitting there like, I'm just here to have a good time. I'm looking around. I'm waiting everybody out. And then as soon as he gets called on, it's, why isn't Donald Trump here tonight? Like, he had his messaging at least on point.
He did. No, I agree. We said earlier, I mean, at least Christie has the chutzpah to keep going after Trump on a consistent basis. I don't think he has any chance of getting through a Republican mega-dominated primary. But, I mean, at least he's out there. And not so much last night, but in the first debate, I thought he and Nikki Haley, regardless of whether I agree with all their policy or not, at least I could look at those two and say, well, I mean, I could at least see them sitting in the Oval Office as President of the United States.
Mm-hmm. And I think Christie did have some of the more, I don't want to say humorous, because a point that I was making earlier is that we've kind of like commodified electoral politics now. It's entertainment. Mm-hmm. This is reality television shows rather than choosing who's going to represent us in the government. So I shouldn't be sitting there laughing at these shows, because it's better than crying, I guess, right, knowing that they're auditioning for the leader of the free world. But when Christie had that moment where he, looked right at the camera and straight up said, I want to look at the camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching, okay? And you're not here tonight, not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on this stage and defending your record. Christie knows exactly where to poke the bear.
Yeah, that, I agree.
Like he's calling him out right now. He's saying, you're scared of us. You're scared of me. You're scared of your record. And you're not here because of that. Bring it on, Donald, but knowing that's the only way you got to bait his ego.
Yeah, but the problem is he's not going to respond and he doesn't have to. He can just say, no, I wasn't there because I already know I'm the best. I have the best record. I don't need to defend it. I could tell you all about it, but I won't.
But to Will's point, I think you're right. Mr. Zomers, by the way, I sent you an email when you have it ready. It's a clip of Christie's, I think, his closing last night. So when you're that's ready, let me know. I think you're right in that, Will, that a lot of this, if you look at what the Lincoln Project does, and Trigvy has talked about this, or Rick Wilson talked to us about it when we were with him in Milwaukee, that part of this is just getting under his skin, right? Is to go at the best way to go after Trump isn't to exalt him, but to make fun of him. Because one of his personal things, his pet peeves, is he hates being laughed at or made fun of. And he's such a narcissist, he watches all this stuff. To your point, Christie knows this, right? And so it's just to get under Donald's skin a little bit to make him seem even weirder, and if that's possible, to this kind of middle Bannon line voter, this middle independent voter, to try to make a difference in the election. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you'd like to join Will, Mr. Zomers, and myself, let's go to the phone lines. Mark from the SAC, thanks for listening, my friend. Mark, what say you?
Yeah, what's terrifying is it might be a clone show, but they're all the clones from Stephen King's It.
Right?
The clown Pennywise and Pound Foolish is how I define most of them, at being most charitable. I mean, and what's tragic is we have the same kind of clowns here in the state of Wisconsin that they're equally horrific. They're just at a smaller scale that what they're willing to do, the destruction they're willing to reap in the name of, you know, serving whatever masters they have. And I just have to wonder that how many of these people would be defined as, you know, from this. I was looking at the list of, you know, what defines a sociopath, and all the little characteristics are, you know, one is, you know, continually, you know, ability to lie consistently and convincingly, and you know, one for, you know, well, you know, repeatedly committing crimes, willing to be cruel to others, and that I just wonder how many people would actually meet the definition of a sociopath,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of scary because the people I don't, you know, that how people are able to look at these men and women that and think this is somebody I'd like to have leading us. I mean, because let's face it, none of them came out and condemned Donald Trump early on. Chris Christie has,
mm-hmm.
but some of them actually who condemned Donald Trump early on, you know, became the servants of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So I mean, it just is sad.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the call. Mark from the SAC, always great to hear from you. Asia Hutchinson, of course, from Arkansas, was one who also came out earlier and criticized Trump. But, of course, he did not make the cut this time. He was not on the—
Did you see his social media?
No.
I don't know what you would call it, but gamble. So he released a, you know, come to my website, Asa Hutchinson. I don't even remember what the website was, but it was AI generated. So it was asking me a question and I'll give you a response. But they clearly just used AI for it. And they even said, like, this is not reflective of the Hutchinson campaign. So people were asking absolutely hilarious questions that some of which I can't say on the air. But one that I thought was particularly noteworthy was basically the question was, you know, what is wokeness? Can you define wokeness?
Uh-oh.
And the AI spat back out that the act of being woke is basically having empathy for your fellow humans and recognizing that there are structural problems with society and what we can do to fix them. Like the answer that you would get from a lot of people like us as to what woke is.
That's great.
So, that tweet, of course, went viral. And then they had to add the little thing at the bottom that these opinions are not reflective of the Hutchinson campaign.
Asa Hutchinson is woke. Hashtag confirmed.
I'm going to the text line. Matt from Germantown. Germantown. Call in from Germantown there, Mr.
Hey,
Will.
Hey, my neck of the woods.
Right? From WAUK, Matt listening in Germantown says, did they address the government shutdown possibilities in the debate, and what did they think of it? I did not watch. Again, I only saw highlights. Will and Mr. Zommers, you actually watched it. Did they go over this, Will?
Could you repeat the question?
Was the question asked about the current government shutdown possibilities in Congress, and did any of the candidates speak on that?
So here's the thing. The question was asked, and basically they deflected it. And they're like, oh, it's the liberals. Anyway, I like that question. I'm going to answer it. I'm going to talk about the Mexicans again.
Right.
And there were a couple times. It's weird, actually. There were Pence had a very specific moment, too, where he was asked if you would overturn Obamacare if you were elected president. And he spent his entire time talking about something completely unrelated to the question. And then it was brought back to him. I believe
answer.
It was Perino, essentially said, I appreciate that, but does that mean Obamacare is here to stay? And Pence kind of chuckled and paused for a second and was like, oh, I appreciate you pushing me on the question, because yes, that was the original question, Mike. We weren't asking for you to start riffing on passing a federal law suspending the death penalty or anything.
That's great. I believe, we have a call here. Mr. Zommers has taken that, but we're going to go to the Chris Christie. I believe this was the closing last night, where they asked, who would you vote off the island? In other words, are the people up on stage, who would you vote off? This is what Chris Christie had to say.
I believe I did see you write something on the card.
No, but I'll certainly tell you.
Go.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, I think I've been the only one on this stage who's been clear about this. I vote Donald Trump off the island right now. And the reason I vote him off the island... Every person on this stage has shown the respect for Republican voters to come here to express their views honestly, candidly, and directly, and to take your questions honestly. I have respect for every man and woman on this stage because they've done it. Vivek, put your hand down for a second, would you? I still got time, dude, so chill out. Here, look. This guy has not only divided our party, he's divided families all over this country. He's divided friends all over this country. I've spoken to people, and I know everyone else has, who have sat at Thanksgiving dinner or at a birthday party and can't have a conversation anymore if they disagree with Donald Trump. He needs to be voted off the island, and he needs to be taken.
Take it off the pirate party or something like that is the way you finished it up. But, well, what did you think of that close?
So, first of all, you know, we've been giving the moderators a little bit of flack because they had essentially no control as these petulant children talked over each other. But I loved that last question. And I hate saying that I loved it because it, you know, that was the perfect question for a reality television show debate.
Right?
If this was Survivor, who would you vote off?
Exactly.
But, like, it's entertaining. It's engaging. I'm only human. Of course I'm going to love it. Like, I audibly kind of like, when they said that, I couldn't believe it. And I was like, this is going to be fun. Now, of course, DeSantis immediately shut down the question. We should focus on policy and deflected it. But it's very interesting that Christie was the one to then stand up and say, like, no, I got an answer. And, you know, I'm not Nostradamus or anything. But as soon as he said that, I was like, he's going to say Donald Trump. He has to, right? Like, he's been on point with this messaging all night. He's going to say it.
No, it was great. I really enjoyed it as well. Going to come back, take more of your phone calls. If you're on the line, do not go anywhere. Also, talk more to Will Walter. He is the co-host of Town Call every afternoon from 12:15 to 1, preceding Mr. Zommers and I. Well, Mr. Zommers is on both shows. So, I mean, you know, he's a busy dude. We're going to come back, take more of your phone calls. Also, a clip from Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate. He got 77 votes for a bipartisan continuing resolution, and the House said, no way. Figuratively, anyway. Come back more. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Lobel Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south to southeast at around 15 to 25. Could see a few scattered thunderstorms after midnight tonight. Our low 63. Tomorrow, a thunderstorm in the morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy. 81 on Sunday, partly cloudy, with a high right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along. Mr. Zommers on the board. Will Walter, co-host of Town Call every afternoon, 12:15 to 1, joins us this hour as well. Thank you, Will. Glad to have you here. Off the text line, you can text us, by the way, by downloading the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. W-A-U-K, it's a Shaw. Steve from Milwaukee texts in and says, quote, "The Trump mega party is a house of cards full of jokers ready to crumble," unquote. Well, there you go. Also, apparently a house of jokers in the House of Representatives. Here's what went down. On Tuesday night, the United States Senate voted 77 to 19. Hard to get 77 votes in the Senate these days to advance a bipartisan short-term funding measure known as a continuing resolution, or CR, to avoid a government shutdown at the end of the week. Yesterday morning, Speaker McCarthy said that the Senate CR is, quote, dead on arrival, unquote. Why? Because it includes some money for Ukraine, which, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene and other pro-Putin extremists in this party refused to back. McCarthy could do the right thing and support the Senate continuing resolution, since at least 70% of House Republicans support funding for Ukraine. But he's terrified of Matt Gaetz, MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Donald Trump. He gave these extremists the power, and now they totally control him. Even Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, slammed McCarthy and House Republicans for their insistence to shut down the government. Here's what Mitch McConnell said on the Senate floor yesterday.
Taken hostage. So, Mr. President, a vote against a standard short-term funding measure is a vote against paying over $1 billion in salary for Border Patrol and ICE agents working to track down lethal fentanyl and tame our open borders, letting FEMA's disaster relief fund dry up is not a productive way to advocate for victims of disasters.
There you go. I mean, Mitch McConnell called it out. Look, I mean, Republicans want to talk about border, want to control, want to talk about fentanyl, want to talk about, you know, helping people in Hawaii right now, still recovering from that terrible wildfire. If this doesn't happen, if the government shuts down, how can Republicans say they're for border security when they're defunding border security, Will?
Oh, it's easy, because they're not actually for it. They just say right. They are. Exactly. You answered your own question. Yeah, it's all talk.
all hat, no cattle, as we say back in Southwest Wisconsin. I mean, but and even Joe Biden retweeted part of this and said, you know, I agree with Mitch.
You know, I mean,
I also agree with Mitch in the sense that I too am terrified of Matt Gaetz. I and yeah. millions of American young women probably should be.
Yes, totally, totally accurate. Let's go to the phone lines. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Doug in Randolph, we appreciate you holding on. Doug, what do you want to talk about with Will and Aaron and I?
Yeah, about the new law that Senator Baldwin and Senator Grassley are presenting, calling Protecting Future Farmland Act. I'm a citizen here of Wisconsin, and we're facing about 250,000 acres of farmland destruction for solar panels. Mm-hmm. This specific bill that they're putting out now again. What it does is protects the farmland for the farmer that's going to have it destroyed by putting solar panels on the farmland. Has nothing to do with the rest of us that live next to it and all of our property value losses because of it. With 20 miles of 8-foot high fencing and going all around our properties here up in Columbia County, and like I said, Wisconsin's looking at 250,000 acres of farmland being destroyed for solar panels. So
I really appreciate the call. I grew up in Richland County, where they're doing larger solar panel programs. They're also doing, I believe, here in Dane County as well, over by Cottage Grove. You know, are you a current farmer? Do you have livestock? Do you farm?
I have 20 acres I bought, which was just meant for hunting and for recreation, which could possibly be encroached by these 8-foot high fences. There's at least 70 of us non-participating landowners right in this 1,000 acre system they would like to install, and every one of us has spoken out against it, or at least tell us that you're going to reduce our property values and somehow get a benefit from it. But even this new bill, Protecting Future Farmland Act, from Grassley and Baldwin, all it's doing is protecting the farmer from the solar panel companies destroying their farmland. And the only way to protect it is not to put the solar panels on farmland to start with and put the panels where they belong.
If it was up to you, where would you put them?
They should be put on questionable farmland, not prime farmland. Of course they could. I've got 20 acres out here. I'd put 10 acres out here myself, as long as I didn't have to put a fence around them and stop the wildlife.
Sure.
I'm for solar panels.
I think it's a great discussion to have. I mean, certainly I'm in favor of alternative energy sources other than fossil fuels, but you know, I get it. You know, a lot of farmers can't make a living anymore farming. And so they're putting up, you know, whether it's windmills or whether it's solar panels or other things to make money. I mean, back when I had the farm, we had the Conservation Reserve Program, CRP. And you got more money for not farming the land by putting it into Conservation Reserve Program, which I actually believed in, because I still do, because in highly erodible land, if you put that on these hillsides, you put it into CRP, you actually can help preserve the land and get paid for it. Now, I think there are some very flat lands that should not be in CRP, but I think it's a great discussion, Doug, to have, and one that we need to be talking about, particularly in our rural counties.
Yes, and if they're going to put them on farmland, they should be looking at reimbursing all the other people that live right up against these large solar panel farms. We spent our whole life helping the farmer make more farmland and more farmland. And right now I'm sitting in a really peaceful, quiet cornfield right now. And pretty soon all we're going to do is get 1,000 acres destroyed around here. And Columbia County is due for 8,000 acres getting destroyed with 8-foot high fences. Just the one project here is 20 miles of 8-foot high fencing, which stops all the, it cannot be a beneficial thing for the land itself, is what I'm saying. And of course it destroys the neighbors.
Appreciate the call, Doug. Thanks so much, Doug and Randolph. Will, I think it's a good discussion to have, because I mean, like I say, I'm all for alternative energies. But I think, you know, I'm not aware of all the details in this bipartisan bill with Grassley and Senator Baldwin. I think it's good for farmers, but I get that other landowners should probably be included in this larger discussion.
Well, it shows kind of why the wheels of government can move slowly, because there are a lot of issues, a lot of different viewpoints, and a lot of perspectives that go into every single decision that always needs to be made.
Yeah, absolutely. Will Walter, you can listen to him every afternoon, 12:15 to 1 on Town Call. You're amazing, my friend, and so young. Look at you.
Kids these days with their streaming services, man. Back in the 90s, I had to wait for my cartoon show to be on.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate you. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next. Don't go anywhere. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm
you're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.